Some very special guests again this morning, Daniel.
Brad, so honored to have in our Touch Points Rehab interview chairs this morning Paul Tardif. He is Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, Connecticut chapter involved with that. And Vincent Santilli, Chief Executive Officer of Homes for the Braves. And gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the program.
Welcome to both of you.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? You look younger than I seen you the last time. You're getting younger.
What's the secret, huh, Paul?
I don't know. I got to ask Brad here.
Vince, give us a rundown. What is Homes for the Brave?
And good morning, gentlemen. By the way, we're delighted to be here on the Brad and Dan show. And Homes for the Brave is a transitional housing program for homeless men and women, primarily veterans. And we have three facilities in Bridgeport, Connecticut. One of them is the first and only house exclusively for female veterans in Connecticut and their young children. And so that's a very, very special, best special house that was named after a young man from Wilton, Connecticut, PFC Nicholas Medeiros, who was killed in Iraq 1 month before his 20th birthday. And his family's been very involved in our program. His mother was actually chairman of our board. It has 15 beds for female veterans and their children. And it's just a beautiful place in oasis for these young ladies. Our men's house has 42 beds. And these are both transitional houses in which the men and women are with us anywhere from 90 days up to a maximum of 2 years. And, so we can, I think, give you further details about both of those. We also have a veteran service center where any veteran, any homeless veteran can walk in and be plugged into services right there. We are the only one in the state of Connecticut funded by the VA and one of only 26 in the country. And finally, we have the Waldorf House, which is a 9-bed permanent housing program that was opened in 2005. And we have men that have been there since for 10 years or more. And so it's also, very convenient to transportation and so forth. And it's pretty close to our main house, which is on Park Avenue in Bridgeport and opened in 2002.
This is why Dan and I want to get this word out. Really, seriously, it's so important.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I went down there and took a tour of it Saturday. Unbelievable. The people that are there, unbelievable. They keep the place spotless, like it was in the military. It was spotless. They respect the place. Vin is running a tight ship, and you could tell everyone there is there for a purpose. They want to get in, and they want to get out. And that's what he's doing over there. He's helping them straighten themselves up. So it's good to see.
Well, Vince, describe, when you say transition, what is this transitional period like?
Well, the whole thing, Dan, is that our men and women are here to become permanently housed. So we're that transitional step, and many of them come to us with PTSD as a very common denominator. You know, drug and alcohol addictions are not too uncommon for us. And our whole job is to help them get ready to become permanently housed. And we do it incredibly well. We have three vocational specialists in the house. So their whole purpose is helping these men and women find employment. Because obviously, without an income, you can't find your own apartment. Okay. The second thing, that we have three case managers. And so a lot of what they do sometimes is, helping these men and women say, well, wait a second, you're eligible for these benefits and you didn't even know it. So we're able to plug them into that. And so our track record is just incredible, by the way. In the past fiscal year, by the way, our average stay was 148 days. So if you think about that, in less than 5 months, a man and woman comes to us without many times an income. Some of them do have jobs when they get there. Okay, so they come to us without an income. Okay, we find that. We help them save. We keep them on a straight and narrow. There's a curfew. If they come in past curfew, they are, they're tested, okay, for drug or alcohol use, okay? And then they save money. We help them find an apartment or, maybe reunite with a significant other or back with their family. And in our case, the average days, 148 days last fiscal year, and 62% of our men and women went into a permanent housing situation.
Wow. Tremendous.
That is
That is...
You know, Brad, the issue of PTSD is near and dear to our hearts because of Donna Chapman.
Oh.
And I know that you've been working on this. We're trying to get a retreat center built up in someplace in Connecticut for veterans and first responders because, as you know, Vince and Paul, there's a need for this, isn't there?
Oh, my God, yeah. And I heard you were at the Willpower for Veterans on Saturday, and you said it was a real packed and a lot of people
unreal.
There. How'd you do?
It was just unbelievable, hard to describe. I get very emotional when I just think about it. But Donna Chapman, she lost her son. And, you know, when you stop to think about it, 22 veterans
a day
commit suicide in this country. And she has taken the bull by the horn. She was on our program here, Dan and myself. And I went up on Saturday and spent the afternoon there. And it was, the high school was packed. And what she is doing is she is working with those who have lost their sons and daughters, too. And there's going to be, and Dan and I are going to be involved in this. She's got the plans all made to be this kind of a place that Dan just described. Yeah. So they can go there. And it really is. I don't think people realize, and you folks have a lot to do with it, coming on the program, realize how many of our veterans just don't make it. And if they do make it, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, a lot of the veterans are struggling, and they don't admit it. I call it the Hollywood phase. When you come back, it's first year you're back, boom, you're happy to be back. Second year you're back, it slowly starts to come back. And third year you're back, it's holy cow, my Hollywood time's gone and something's wrong with me. I don't know what it is. So at that third year mark, now you're starting to realize places like what Vin has is perfect. And Vincent is someone that can help you guys set up the Willpower for Veterans. I mean, because he's been doing it, so talking to him would be able to tell you the do's and don'ts, which is perfect.
I can tell you, when you got through, the first person I thought of was Donna.
All right.
Really.
Brad, we got a lot more to talk about with our guests about Homes for the Brave, but I know we're coming up on a traffic update.
22 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. You know, Daniel, as we talk with these gentlemen, and when we talk with someone like the beautiful woman that we met through tragedy, you realize how much this is needed everywhere.
Oh, without a doubt, Brad, and that's why we have Paul Tardif and Vince Santilli in studio. Of course, Paul with the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association Connecticut chapter, and Vince is CEO of Homes for the Brave. They're in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chairs this morning. Vince, someone in need, a veteran in need, goes to Homes for the Brave in Bridgeport. Take us through the process.
Well, it's an incredible process, and what I must tell you is that it's not cookie cutter. Everything is customized, Dan. So every man and woman, and by the way, we have men and women in their 20s in our homes. We have men and women in their 70s and every age group in between. And so on the very first day, during part of their intake, of course, they have to pledge sobriety or attempt at sobriety. They'll meet with their case manager and really put a customized plan together what they want to accomplish in the time they're with us. Typically, the first day, or at worst, the second day they're with us, they'll meet with a vocational specialist. And then they'll say, okay, what do you want to do? And you know, and it might be, they'll take them back. What are the jobs you've had in your life? It could all the way back to high school. So it might be, oh, okay, you worked landscaping for a company. Okay, and they'll mark that down. So that's not a 5 or 10 minute meeting. That's like an hour 15, an hour 30. They're digging, and they're digging deep. And then they'll say, what do you want to accomplish? So about 3 years ago, we had a gentleman named around my age, he came in his 50s and said, you know what, I always wanted to be a first responder. And they were like,
really?
For real?
Wow.
And so we got him the training. And so last year at Christmas time, we have a big Christmas party and gathering our board and a big holiday party, as we call it. And this gentleman came in uniform and spoke to the group and said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, 3 years ago, I was sitting in your seat.
Wow.
And I was trying to, you know, put my life back together. They got me the training. And now he was in his uniform.
Wow.
I go to work every day. I have my own place. I go to work every day and save lives. And I'll tell you, there was nothing more powerful. I mean, yeah. I've never personally been homeless. I've never overcome an addiction. So there was nothing I could say to this group that could come anywhere close to the impact that that gentleman had. And so that, so each person then has a customized plan. We do resumes for them, and you should see how professional, you know, I showed Paul samples of those, the resumes, and for like one man or woman, we might have three different resumes wanting to go into three different lines of work.
Wow.
We customize everything.
Wow.
Yeah, very good, the professionalism that they use. It's, you wouldn't see it anywhere else. The way the operation is going over there, it's bar none. It, you can't get it anywhere else. It's better than what the VA offers.
Really?
Top of the line. Mm-hmm. He is running such a good program there. The veterans that are going there, they have the opportunity sitting in front of them right now.
You know.
And they could tell, you could tell they're taking advantage of it because the way they treat the facility.
You know, one of the things that is so important is that the public, everyday folks, get to understand there are out there people like yourselves. All of us want to work with you to make sure that there's help, because there is availability. I mean, what you're doing is just incredible.
Thank you so much. And Brad, you're absolutely right. And when you think of it, you know, like right now, the doorbell rings a lot. People are, you know, we're on their radar screens. You know, Veterans Day was just in the rest of November. Now we have Thanksgiving and then Christmas time, and the bell rings and people are bringing stuff. And I'm going to tell you guys, all of a sudden January 1st comes. And it gets real quiet.
Yep.
I mean, I wish we can spread that Veterans Day / holiday season, you know, over 365 sure. days. Because you get, you know, you get deluged, and then all of a sudden it becomes really quiet. And I have to talk about the combat motorcycle vets. Paul is part, I guess, the more northern Connecticut group is 31-1.
Yes.
And 31-2 is southern Connecticut, headquartered down in Bridgeport. And Philip Modesti is one of the leaders of that. And he's one of my board members, and I'll tell you, I met him shortly after I started at Homestead of Brave 19 months ago, and I immediately, Philip is a combat motorcycle veteran, Marine Corps veteran, and he's now in the corporate world, so we got him on our board right away, and this man has moved mountains for us, and he's been on our board since last August. So
and I think the more...
Here.
Folks that hear it, you've been here three times.
I love it here.
Rides his motorcycle right in.
I'm trying to rent a room over here.
You're welcome, and we'll pay for it.
Yeah. No, we enjoy coming in here because it's people like you that are giving us the opportunity to spread the word. The more people we reach out to, the more people know. So this is very important to Vince and I, to everyone else that does something like this. To Willpower for Veterans, that's important that everybody hears that. That's our big thing is we don't get a push to the public about what we do. And it just seems like, we need TV time or something to push it even farther, and it seems like we're forgotten, you know, after all the action, it's just forgotten.
Not forgotten here, baby.
No, with you guys, it's good.
People, we're getting calls, contact information for donations.
Yeah.
If someone wants to make a donation, how do they go about doing that?
Well, they can reach us at Homestead of Brave, by the way, at 203-338-0669. But better yet, on our website, because it's very seamless. It's been just reinvigorated. www.homesforthebrave.com. homesforthebrave.org, and they could donate. There's a, you know, you
homesforthebrave.org.
Homesforthebrave.org. And yes, indeed. And you know, and we'd love to show people around. You know, Paul talked about how impressed he was when he came down. And gentlemen, I know it's a long way. I came up from Trumbull this morning, so it's a, you know, but I love being here in this studio with you. So anytime you want me up here, you just let me know, because it's not that bad.
Now, can you stay a few minutes after the news? Because I would like to get into the female veterans aspect of what you do for female veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very important.
We're always asked about that.
Yes, we are.
I was asked on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was asked around for Saturday, rather.
Okay.
It is 7:30 in the morning, and we'll be back with two very, very special guests to begin the week. What a way to begin. 25 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, two very, very special guests. As you know, Dan and I are working with veterans, and this is a project for us, and we're bringing in people that perhaps you haven't met before, but are very, very important people when it comes to the field of veterans. And we'll get back to this in just a moment.
Brad, back in our Touchpoint Rehab interview, chairs are Paul Tardif, Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association Connecticut chapter, and Vince Santilli, CEO of Homes for the Brave. And by the way, I urge you to visit their website, homesforthebrave.org, and they're based in Bridgeport. Vince, the female veterans, talk about what Homes for the Brave does for female veterans.
Well, and let's think about female veterans in general. I mean, females are used to taking care of everybody else.
That's right.
Okay, they're the caregiver, they're raising the children, I mean, doing the primary job raising the children, taking care of the elders and so forth and so on. So the female veteran, by that very nature, is probably the last person to raise her hand and say, you know what, I need help. I'm couch surfing, I'm sleeping in my vehicle, et cetera, et cetera. And so our, you know, it's an oasis. It's the PFC Nicholas A. Medeiros Home for Female Veterans in the west end of Bridgeport, 15 beds. It's not like, you know, bunks, or it's 9 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms. It's a house. It's beautiful. It was formerly a rooming house. We opened it in 2011. It was completely gutted, and it will knock your eyes out. Okay, stainless steel appliances, granite countertops. It's an oasis for these young ladies, and we keep them protected. It's not like Homes for the Brave where we say, here's their address, come ring the bell, and we have any donations come to the men's house, and then we bring them to the female house, because we keep our females protected. Many of them were victimized while in the military, which is just completely unacceptable. And, you know, and we get them on the right track. Many of them are taking courses. And again, we have women in their 20s, women in their 70s, and the talent and the intellect and the potential of some of these women is astonishing.
I see you shaking your head, Paul.
Well, yeah, it's, you get it with the sex scandals we're going through in the public right now. You see it all over, and now with the women in the military, they struggle also, and they probably struggle more than regular soldiers.
They probably don't tell you right away.
Yeah, they don't tell you, because they're the ones that are going to take the punishment as far as not making rank and, you know, doing the bad duties. So they have it tough in the military. And so when they come out of the military, they're going to have it tough again, just like Vince said. They're going to be the last ones that say something. They're going to be the last ones that request something. So this is very important. To get them to step up to the plate and even admit it is a task for them. So once they do that, it's time. It's time to take care of them.
Vince, when they manage to clear that initial hurdle of admitting there's a problem, and then whether you're talking male or female, and then they go to Homes for the Brave, how much easier is it to then set out a path for them when they've admitted, you know, I need help?
Well, I think it is, and that's a huge first step. That's a huge first obstacle. And now you have to keep them on the path. Now you set a path. And you know, for many, and I will tell you, in our men's house this year, 44% of our men are coming to us from the Department of Corrections.
They are.
So they're coming to us.
Who were veterans.
Who are veterans.
Right.
They're on parole. In my men's house, I should tell you, out of my 42 beds, I have five per when the house opened, per agreement with the state of Connecticut, five beds are DMIS beds, Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. My other 37 beds are all veterans. This year, out of those 37 veterans beds, okay, of which 32 are filled this morning, whether we have a couple teed up to move in this week. Okay, about 44% of those men are coming to us from Department of Corrections. So this scenario will replay itself out. Either the parole officer brings them or the prison van brings them. They walk in maybe with the clothes they have on, maybe with a trash bag with their belongings, and then we have to take it from there. Everything from underwear, white socks, T-shirts, toiletries, etc. to then. So right there, you're talking about going from 0 to 50 in 6 seconds here, okay? Wow. They're transitioning in so many different ways. And now you're trying to get them in the mindset, okay, we have to keep the straight path. If there's an alcohol or drug addiction issue, which is not always the case, but it's not too unique for us, okay? And then you have to now get them saying, okay, what do I want to do employment-wise, or how am I going to generate an income? So there's a lot of hurdles to overcome, and we're trying to walk them through that and talk them through those struggles. And so, and I wish I could sit here and tell you, you know, we bat 1,000. But we're doing pretty darn good when 62% go from homes to the brave into a permanent housing situation.
You know, one of the things, Dan, and I am so glad that the two of us are taking this on. One of the things that thousands that listen don't realize are all these different stories coming from the prisons. Coming, you ask somebody, and they won't think that of veterans. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And these are the things we've got to get to the public so that they will respond, and the women especially. What you're doing is fabulous work, both of you. Both of you.
Now, Vince, you have a big fundraiser coming up in January. Talk about
where that. Is that?
Well, that will be at Vazano's Four Seasons in Stratford, Connecticut, and it is. And last year was our very first one. We did it the same weekend, the same Friday night. This year it happens to be January 19th. Last year there were three comedians, two of which were veterans. And Billy Wynn, who is also a veteran, you may know him from his WPLR days, was the MC. So we're actually meeting with Billy at noontime today to get this thing rolling, to because we want to jump right out of the gates. So last year, 283 people attended. Wow. They had a wonderful meal. They listened to the comics, and they, again, supported our work of getting these homeless men and women, primarily veterans, back on their feet.
Now, repeat again. You have three homes, four homes. What do you have in the Bridgeport area?
We have three. All in Bridgeport.
Okay. All in Bridgeport. Could you use more? I mean, is there a need for more? Are you?
There's some more. We need more up here, Dan.
I know we need up here. But
absolutely.
What about that area?
Well, I mean, in our case, and Paul noticed this when he was here, we're kind of busting out of that house, and there's not a lot of empty space. One big, by the way, gap in the system is that when these men and women say they move into their own apartment, sometimes I'll get a call a week and a half later, oh, by the way, Vince, do you know he or she is sleeping on the floor? They don't have pots or pans. they're taking their clothes out of a garbage bag over in the corner of the room. And so we started taking furniture donations, and I got a storage unit donated. And at first, we had an individual with a truck, and I'd say, okay, we've got a woman in Stratford with a bedroom set, or we have a gentleman in Southport that has a couple items for us, and he'd go and get him. I'd meet him at the storage unit. We'd move it in. This is not really something we've delegated. But then he got real busy, so, the transportation piece is a missing link. But the beautiful thing is people have been generous about donating just great furniture for these men and women. This way they can, before they get in their own apartment, they can go up, I need a little kitchen table. I mean, not big one, right. Because they have, and here's a mattress and a box spring, and, et cetera. Here's a couch that pulls into a bed. And so, we've got items such as that. And that's a big gap. And I had Congressman Himes just at the house a couple months ago. He had met with me, had dinner with the guys. And I said, Congressman, in a lot of cases, we're kind of saying, yeah, we've solved this issue. And you know, going into a little apartment with no TV, no couch, nothing, you know, sleeping on the floor, I don't really call that living. I think our veterans deserve much better.
Absolutely. You know, what you have laid out here this morning, some great ideas, because there's no reason, that the state of Connecticut, okay, all of us together, and Dan and myself, we're out there, okay, that we can't have this kind of coverage everywhere.
No veteran should be homeless, Brad.
Absolutely.
Yes. No veteran once placed in a home should be without a couch, without a TV set, without a table.
Absolutely. And we can make it happen. All of us together.
It is happening, but the work is always ongoing, isn't it?
That's right.
And this is where, like, when we do our donations and stuff for us, like last year, we did a little thing, and we got some money in, and we took $500, went to Walmart and bought clothes and towels and stuff like that for a veteran that we just placed in an apartment. So now he's all set, and this is what Vince is talking about. We're doing these little things for these guys. As much as we could do, we do this. And that's, like you said, it's important, because if you don't have that in the apartment, now it gives that person time to think. With the PTSD, you don't need time to think. You have to keep busy.
Right.
And that's part of the problem. The PTSD really gets you going. If you have too much time on your hand, it starts to go. And that's why a lot of the guys in the prison, it's the PTSD. I don't want to solely blame it on the PTSD, but it has a lot to do with it. They need to be taken care of, and we have to figure out that solution to take care of them when they get out.
Paul, Vince are out of time. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, you know, I just want to piggyback on what something Paul just said. That idle time is a bad thing. We established a fitness partnership. I believe we may be the only program in this nation serving veterans that if they live in one of my houses, they have the ability to go get a workout, take a swim, etc. And in order, and we're keeping them engaged in the community. We're having them do volunteer things, Easter egg hunts for the kids. We're hosting neighborhood cleanups.
Fabulous.
So we're trying to make them, from when they get in my house, when they then get out into the community, they'll be a force for good.
Terrific.
Boy, this is...
out of time. Come back, would you?
Yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All of you. Definitely. We love it.
Just tell us when.
And we'll introduce you also to our friend Donna that I met again this Sunday. You're going to love her.
Thanks for coming on.
We love you guys. Thank you.